And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Alberta BC District of the Lutheran Church Canada will continue to be protected from bankruptcy and legal proceedings after the church requested an extension under the Company's Creditors Arrangement Act. The request was granted by the Court of Queen's Bench of Alberta in Calgary on Friday. The move will continue to protect the district from bankruptcy and from being sued until March 27, 2015, while giving the church time to draft a plan on how to restructure its investment funds. The church had wanted a 90-day extension, but was given a 30-day extension instead. In early January, about 2,000 investors with one of the church's investment funds were told their accounts had been suspended and the church would not be able to fully pay back the $95 million owed to them. At the time, the district's president, Don Sheeman, said he took responsibility for the financial crisis because it happened on his watch. Since then, the financial mess facing the church has deepened and spread to another investment fund, District Investments Limited. Accounts with that fund have also been frozen, affecting more than 900 investors who cannot withdraw money from their funds. The deposits, as of November the 30th, were $37 million. A court-appointed monitor has been overseeing the finances of the Alberta BC District since the end of January. In a statement posted on its website, the church said it is working to get the right people to the table by hiring a chief restructuring officer, a new restructuring committee, and a creditor committee. Part of the church's restructuring may mean it will be forced to sell off assets. The current financial crisis facing the church has raised questions from the National Office of the Lutheran Church Canada over whether the churches should be in the business of financing. In January, the church's national president, Reverend Robert Bugby, called it a serious situation that warranted a review of how other Lutheran church districts administer their investment funds. The church has set up an emergency fund for investors who rely on money from the investment funds to meet basic living expenses. The investment fund began in 1921 as an internal savings and loan program because banks at that time were not lending money to churches. A row has broken out as the Church of England pays some of its own staff less than the living wage, despite calling on employers to pay at least that amount, it has been revealed. The living wage, calculated from the basic cost of UK life, is currently £7.85 an hour outside London. But the Sun newspaper reports a church job advertised at £6.50 an hour, something an MP called astonishing. The church said each parish, diocese and cathedral was a separate legal entity which made its own decisions. According to the Sun, Canterbury Cathedral advertised for a kiosk assistant to be paid £6.70 an hour. The £6.50 advertisement was for waiting on staff at Lichfield Cathedral. Conservative MP Charlie Elphick told the newspaper, "It's astonishing that the Church of England can call for the living wage to be paid by employers but don't pay it themselves." His Tory colleague Philip Davis said many small businesses might have considerably more difficulty raising wages than the church. In a letter to all church members last week, the House of Bishops said it backed the living wage, which ensured people earned enough to live decently. It represents the basic principle that people are not commodities and that their lives cannot adapt infinitely in response to market pressures, the letter added. In a statement, the Church of England said it was made of independent parts but added, "The vast majority of those employed by or subcontracted to the central institutions are already paid at least the living wage, or will be, by April 2017. The Diocese of Canterbury and the Pensions Board of the Church of England are committed to moving to paying the living wage and hope to be at that point within the next 2 years. As charities, both institutions require time to increase giving levels prior to ensuring delivery of the living wage." BBC Religious Affairs correspondent Caroline Wyatt said, "The intentions are there, and this is what the church is aiming to do. But in the meantime, we have probably not seen the end of this spat between politicians and the bishops." The Living Wage Foundation says the hourly rate, revised yearly, is calculated according to the basic cost of living in the UK. A hospice in Wrexham has reunited a centuries-old Bible with relatives of the family who owned it. The 1837 Welsh Bible contains family inscriptions and shows it was given to different generations over the years. It was donated in a bag of belongings to a Nightingale House Hospice charity shop in Wrexham. It appears to have been first presented to a man named John Parry in Llanfihangel in the old Montgomeryshire county shortly after being published. The last recorded owner is Arthur Wynne Lloyd in 1961 at Hendra, possibly the village near Mould. Hospice retail development manager John Donnelly said, "We do get a number of Bibles, but we've never had one as old as this one, and that's what makes it so interesting to us. Who knows what sort of journey the Bible has been on? It may not have come to us from a family member, so it'd be nice for it to be reunited with the family." But following publicity, relatives of a man named John Parry in Montgomeryshire realised it belonged to him. After reading the story, Brian Parry said, "My wife heard it on the news. She let me know the name of the farm that was on television, and I asked her why, and it's unbelievable, really. It's a nice feeling. I will look after it and treasure it. It's just another part of a long family history." A US church says one of its missionaries has been abducted in central Nigeria. The Three Methodist Church says in a statement on its website that it received a report on Monday morning that several people abducted Reverend Phyllis Sauter from the Hope Academy compound in Emiworo, Kogi State. The message from Bishop David Kendall says the US Embassy have been notified and the State Department and the FBI are working with local authorities to find and rescue her. Kidnappings for ransom are common in Nigeria and almost all victims are returned unharmed. The State Department says it's aware that a US citizen has been reported missing in Nigeria. It says it hopes local authorities search for those confirmed missing and wouldn't release further information because of privacy concerns. "She was whisked away at around 10 a.m. on Monday," said Kogi State Police spokesman Sola Collins Abadeo. He said the attack took place in the Emiworo village, where the missionary from the Free Methodist Church ran a community organization within the premises of a school linked to a church. The kidnappers were unknown gunmen who came into the school premises shouting and shooting to scare away people before taking the hostage away into the bush, Abadeo said. "We are hopeful of finding her. Our suspicion that she was picked up for ransom," the police spokesman said, identifying the hostage as between 65 and 70 years old. And finally, staff at a branch of Afghanistan's central bank in southern Kandahar province may have got away with as much as 81 million Afghanis, or $1.4 million, when they robbed their own bank and ran, an official said on Saturday. Security officials' cameras showed the bank's vault had been cleaned out, but investigators were waiting to gain access before confirming the final total missing, he said. "Yesterday, we could only open one of the treasury's doors. We hope to open the next one today," the central bank director for Afghanistan's southwestern region, Fazl Ahmed Azimi, said. The Kandahar raid is believed to have been carried out by a senior official at the bank, an employee of 9 years, with the help of his son and brother-in-law, who were also on staff, according to Azimi. The robbery at the branch in Spindoldak near the border with Pakistan was discovered on Thursday, and investigators believe the group has escaped to Pakistan. The group also removed CCTV recordings before fleeing to Pakistan, as Azimi said, but investigators were hopeful that footage might be recovered from the memory chip of the security cameras.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.